Welcome to Local Motion. I'm Corey Stanton. On this week's program, we're talking about agritourism in Colorado. To get a bit of background on how Colorado is supporting agritourism, I first spoke with Wendy White from the Colorado Department of Agriculture. Here's Wendy talking about her role at the CDA and with Colorado Proud.
I'm a marketing specialist for the Colorado Department of Agriculture. I manage the Colorado Proud program. I've been with the department for 19 years, so almost the entire life of the program itself. And I also do a lot of education and outreach. I supervise a lot of our publications like the Farm Fresh Directory and also am involved with agritourism. I really enjoy it. I enjoy the people especially. I think that's what makes my daily work so special is the people involved with food and agriculture in Colorado are so wonderful to work with and so warm and inviting, and it really makes my job easy. And over the years, I just have loved to see Colorado Proud as a program grow and develop and blossom. When we first started, we had 65 members, and now we're up to over 2,700 members all across the state. So that's really a proud program for me, too. Colorado Proud is a program of the Colorado Department of Agriculture. And it promotes food and agricultural products that are grown, raised, or processed in Colorado. And we're really excited to be celebrating the program's 20th anniversary this year. So it started in August of 1999, and we'll be celebrating throughout 2019, especially in August, which is Colorado Proud Month. We'll be traveling all around the state, participating at farmers markets and county fairs and other events and activities to really share information about Colorado Proud, local agriculture, and encouraging consumers to buy locally.
Oh, that's so great. Do you have plans to come to the Western Slope?
We do. We will be in Grand Junction on August 22nd at the Grand Junction Farmers Market.
Wow, that's so great. Can farmers become a member of Colorado Proud, or who consists of your members?
Absolutely. Colorado Proud includes farmers and ranchers, food manufacturers, schools, retailers, restaurants. Our goal really is to promote local food and agricultural products from the state. And so any way we can share that message on packaging from products that are made here to the produce that's grown here, as well as in schools for kids to learn about agriculture at the retail level, restaurant level. It's free to participate. So there's no cost to join Colorado Proud. We have information on our website at coloradoproud.org. There's just a simple online registration that farms, ranches, and businesses can complete and join the program.
And this is great information for our listeners, too.
Right, and part of our 20th anniversary celebration is the launching of a new logo. So people might be familiar with the purple mountain and gold sun that we've had the last 20 years, and we're just refreshing and launching a new Colorado Proud logo that we encourage all of our members to incorporate into their packages, and we hope that consumers start to see that in the grocery stores, the farmers markets, restaurants, and other places, and know that that's the new logo for buying local.
That's very exciting, and this is a great opportunity for all farmers, ranchers, producers to unite and be Colorado Proud altogether.
Absolutely. And we really hope that Colorado Proud is a voice for our producers in the state. You know, they're busy making their products and growing and producing food for us. And we hope we can be a conduit to tell their stories. So whether it's in social media or through the efforts that we do through our events or public relations or television advertising, all those things that we're doing to promote Colorado Proud, we want to share those farming and ranching stories of our multi-generational farms, as well as all of our new and beginning farmers that we have coming on board. And a lot of the themes that we have for our campaign this summer is really the next generation of agriculture.
Oh, cool. How does Colorado Proud define agritourism?
Well, agritourism, I think, is a pretty broad concept. I think it's, you know, the idea of educating the public about agriculture through activity, but that can be a lot of different things. It can be visiting a winery and, you know, going to the tasting room or going to the farmer's market and meeting with producers or in the fall when the pumpkin patches and corn mazes are active. That's all part of agritourism. Even the term itself can be confusing. I'm not sure if the general public really says, oh, I want to go and experience agritourism. They're more thinking about what kinds of activities can they experience and what experiences can they have in Colorado. So I think part of that is getting out of our own way and saying, okay, this is agritourism, whereas what we really want to be describing are the activities that are available to people to experience. So what sights, smells, sounds, taste, things that they can have when they're here in Colorado. And I think part of it, too, is just the interest by the producers in expanding and diversifying their operations. I think we're seeing a big increase in that interest in incorporating these activities into their daily operations as a way to increase income or to keep their family on the farm and their kids involved and those kinds of things. So I think we've seen a shift in the interest by producers as well as the consumers, just getting them educated and connected with the activities that are available too. We try to help both in promoting agritourism activities to consumers as well as the development and helping producers understand whether or not it's an opportunity for them to diversify their operations. But we have a lot of producers all around the state, and they're coming up with some really interesting ideas on what agritourism means to them. And, you know, I think people who live in the city and the more urban areas, they forget what it's like in rural communities. And so the opportunity to maybe go to a farmer ranch and spend a weekend and do goat yoga or just enjoy the stars or not have cell service and that peace and quiet that they really do desire, I think that's attractive to producers too, and inviting the public to experience that.
It is very broad.
It is. It involves a lot of things, which I think is good because we have a lot of different types of producers and they can really make it what works best for them.
Mm-hmm. How do you help? How does Colorado Proud help engage visitors into Colorado agritourism?
There are a variety of things that we do. The biggest thing that we have is the Colorado Farm Fresh Directory, and it lists all the farmers markets, roadside stands, U-Picks, CSAs, agritourism activities, wineries, all across Colorado. And we print this publication every year. We actually just released our 35th annual edition of the Farm Fresh, and we distribute it free of charge through visitor centers, welcome centers, libraries, chambers of commerce. We also have it online at coloradoproud.org. And on that site, you can either see the PDF version of it or you can download a free mobile app for your smartphone. So you can have all those activities and farmers markets right at your fingertips on your phone.
That's great. Sounds like you're doing a lot.
We try. We try to do a lot for not only promotion of local products, but also agritourism. We also have great partners. We work with the Colorado Tourism Office, the Colorado Agritourism Association. We actually are working with the Spanish Peaks Business Alliance in Huerfano County and having an agritourism workshop for their community. So when communities contact us and say, you know, we'd really like to learn more about agritourism and if it's right for our producers, could you come and do a workshop? And we partner with Colorado State University and others to bring speakers to meet their needs and talk about, you know, what are the liability concerns and is your family, is there somebody who wants to spearhead this effort on your farm or ranch or what are other things to consider when you're inviting the public to your property. So those types of conversations we love to have with producers. And we really gauge and develop the agenda based on the needs of the community. You know, our workshop tomorrow is really an agritourism 101, some of the basic things to be thinking about if you're looking at developing agritourism activities on your property. But some communities are already doing it, so how we can elevate that then, and maybe they need more assistance with marketing or promotion or social media. And so we really tailor the program based on the needs of the producers and the communities.
Yeah. The Agritourism 101 workshop you're doing tomorrow, will any of that information be available to other Colorado producers on your website?
Yes, we actually have a dedicated website to agritourism. It's coloradoagritourism.com, which directs to one of our pages that's specific to agritourism. And we have general information for consumers, but then we have a subsite that's really for producers. And we have a lot of materials about workshops, upcoming events, and just general information from previous workshops on that site. So we try to keep that updated, too, so there's some good information there.
How else can farmers and producers utilize Colorado Proud?
So if there's something that they need or they're looking for some assistance with, we hope they do reach out to us and say, hey, is this something that you can help us with? We have a business development specialist here, and her job is to help businesses get started. So somebody might say, I have this recipe for salsa. How do I get started and develop it? And she helps with that. So we do workshops like that, too. So a lot of different resources and making connections. I'm always available via phone, 303-869-9174. Or certainly visit our website, coloradoproud.org, for some general information. But feel free to reach out to us, and we love to have those conversations.
Great. Do you have any advice for farmers or ranchers who are wanting to make a push towards agritourism?
You know, it's a lot of planning and thinking about it and understanding what are things to consider before getting started. And I think a lot of it is the business planning, your business structure, liability concerns. Anytime that you're starting then to involve the public on your property, there's lots of things to be concerned about. And those can certainly be issues to be addressed. But I think it's just a lot of pre-planning that farms and ranches need to consider, and also understanding what kinds of things they might offer. So even simple making a list of, you know, this is my operation, these are the things I could potentially do for guests, what the infrastructure might be available, do they have bathrooms, do they have parking? So it depends on how big they want to go as to what maybe they can do. And I think one of the big things, too, is community involvement and partnerships. So not just focusing on what you as a single operation can do, but can you partner with other producers in your community? What other organizations exist to help? What events and activities might be already in the community that you can tag on to, and how can you all partner to bring people to your community and experience all of these different things in the area?
Mm-hmm.
We're really lucky to live in a state that has so many opportunities to experience a nature, culture, agriculture, culinary scene, you know, just the natural beauty. I mean, we're pretty lucky to have such a diverse landscape, as well as the variety of products that we offer, too, from, you know, the produce and the proteins and livestock to dairy and manufactured foods and all kinds of things that we have in the state that we can share with not only our residents, but our visitors, too.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with KVNF.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Next, I spoke to Jamie Henderson and Steve Stees, who own and operate the Storm Cellar, which is located on Sunshine Mesa in Hotchkiss. Jamie and Steve moved to the Western Slope in 2017 after they did some serious research on where they wanted to open their dream winery. Both have extensive backgrounds and experience in restaurants, wine, and hospitality. Having worked at some of the best-known restaurants in Denver, this duo brings their expertise and passion for food and wine to the Western Slope. Here is Jamie and Steve talking about their most recent dinner event for the 2019 North Fork Uncorked and how they utilized their skills and collaborated with many of our local producers.
We've been dying to have a dinner in the vineyard for years, even before the project. You know, we'd always dreamed of entertaining, be it at a B&B, you know, at our own wine shop or something like that. And so this past like winter season, Steve and I were walking the vineyard and just kind of thinking, because we don't have a tasting room right now. We don't have a full on event center. And we were walking through our Riesling vines in our wind machine row. And it's right where that wind machine is. It's the center of the vineyard. And there's this extra space where a row of vines is left out so a tractor can go through to service the machine. And we had this epiphany moment where we envisioned this long table in the middle of the vineyard, and to see it, you know, manifest that past Friday night was just completely magical. We had it catered by Brent Bishop of Bishop Quality Goods and Hannah Halliday of Blue Sky Baking. And we did a 4-course meal paired with our wines, and the weather couldn't have been more perfect. You know, a lot of hectic behind the scenes scuffle beforehand, but we dialed in our restaurant skills. You know, you're throwing a party, someone's coming to your house, and we just rolled out the welcome mat and it went exceptionally well.
We have this year, we have some amazing opportunities present itself. And one of the best is that we have some really close ties with some of the best chefs in Colorado right now. And we wanted to bring something special to the North Fork. So we were able to contact some of these chefs from outside of this region to acquire some products that don't normally make their way into the North Fork. So we served tamarind cured hamachi, like full on sushi for appetizers. We got these incredible, like head on Gulf shrimp, like incredible ingredients, you know, because that's one of the things we miss here is seafood for sure. And the whole theme of the North Fork Uncorked this year was sort of a luau slash Polynesian slash islandy kind of theme. And since all of our wines are whites and rosés, it was a perfect fit for us. So we did a super island centric menu, which went amazingly with our wines. It was a real hit. Everybody had a great time. We had people coming in from all over the state for the dinner. It was a really amazing table full of people. So it was really super fun.
Yeah. And we were able to really pull in a lot of the talent here in the Valley. And so we were able to, you know, source from our favorite bakery. So it was Monica of Small Potatoes Farm and Bakery that did our bread. And we had Sue Ann and Dave do our cheese for some of the appetizers. So it was really great to highlight some of the local cuisine and produce.
That was definitely one of the hits at the dinner. We were standing doing the appetizer hour at our sort of new tasting overlook area, and people were asking me about one of the appetizers, and I could literally, from where I was standing, I could point into the valley where every single ingredient on the bite they were having had come from. And people were really jaw-dropped. I mean, you hear about farm-to-table, but when you can point to it from where you're standing, every single ingredient of your bite, that's a super impactful moment. And, you know, that is what the North Fork has to offer, is the best produce in Colorado. And it's such an honor to be able to live here and show that off, for sure.
Absolutely.
I love that you're combining all of these other producers. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, these people came in with their expertise and their passion, and they're including other local producers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to continue on what you're saying, you know, we're not trying to bring the city here.
No.
We are trying to showcase how amazing this valley is. Like I was just saying a moment ago, right, we've had some amazing opportunities this year where we're working with a lot of the best chefs in the state. And literally everywhere we go, the chefs say unabashedly, the best produce in Colorado comes from your valley. And we hear that. And I mean, it's amazing to know that that's where we live. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, it's an honor to show those things off. We love that we look out over the valley and it's organic orchards and pastures, and as far as the eye can see, that's where
that.
I want to live.
Yes. So.
Do you plan on having more events and opportunities for tourists to visit your winery?
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, we don't have a formal tasting room. So we are doing appointment-only tastings. And the reason that's the case is because it's basically the two of us farming. And so we're farming during the day, and we'll take the time to relax and enjoy and taste some wine with guests later on. But yes, we are. We're going to do another farm-to-table dinner for 40 people in the vineyard on August 2nd with Forage Sisters. So they'll be catering the event. We're going to do an outdoor, like, asado-style dinner. So a lot of roasted meats. It'll be actually, like, you know, fire food. So it'll be like a fire pit out there, and we'll pair it with our wines again. And also, you know, definitely open for tours. So we're going to be working like with the Palisade Wine Fest. And so they'll be doing one of the bus tours up in our area. And we have to kind of limit it because we are farming this year. But next year, we're hoping to have a little bit more of a permanent presence and not be traveling around and showing our wines as much. So a lot more events.
Sure. That's a big part of our model this year. Mm-hmm. Is since we were selected to be part of the Colorado Five, we get to do these events all over the state. And just like we said, we have ties, especially in Denver. So from our perspective, it would be a big miss if we didn't utilize all those contacts that we had. So, you know, we're taking the hit on margins mm-hmm. this year and really trying to get our name out there, not just in the North Fork, but across Colorado in general. So we're doing wine festivals multiple times in Telluride, Crested Butte, Breckenridge, Palisade. We're doing festivals all over the state, events all over the state. So we're really trying to have a broad presence across Colorado, which is limiting how many events mm-hmm. we can do here right now, unfortunately. We knew that we could do that this year because we didn't have a tasting room. We said, we don't have a tasting room. Let's take the year and get our name out there, because we know once we do have an official tasting room at our site, we're never going to leave ever.
No. Yeah. And agritourism is something that is so beneficial to the wineries here. Most all of them sell out of their wines through their tasting room. So without the agritourism, you know, industry here, their wines wouldn't necessarily sell out. And so it is a powerful force.
And it's a group effort, mm-hmm. you know.
Absolutely.
It is an all boats rise situation. It's still such a small region that I don't think any of us view any of this as any form of competition.
No.
Anything that gets somebody out to visit one winery here, odds are 99% that they're probably going to visit at least another winery while they're here. And mm-hmm. if there's only basically a dozen wineries here, that's win-win for everybody.
Yes.
Everybody's going to get visited. You know, we've had people over at our place already and say, how did you find out about us? Oh, Stone Cottage sent us over here. Root and Vine sent us over here. Azura sent us over here. And everybody sends
everybody
everywhere. So I think it's a wonderful group mentality.
Yeah.
It's the way to success.
It's definitely
here.
A community. You feel it.
How can our listeners find out about upcoming events and what's going on at the Storm Cellar?
So the best way that you can stay in touch is just visit our website. It's stormcellarwine.com and just sign up for our email list. And we send out a newsletter once a month and we'll let you know about events. We keep our events page on our website also updated. We also utilize the social media platform Instagram. It's our favorite way of communicating, like behind the scenes stories and anecdotes and everything about the project. So those are the best places to find out.
Jamie, Steve, thank you so much for being here and for talking about your winery and your process and your passion.
Thanks for having us, for sure.
It was great.
That was Jamie and Steve from the Storm Cellar. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. And on this program, we're talking about agritourism. Next, I spoke with Jeff Schwartz, owner of Delicious Orchards, which is located between Hotchkiss and Paonia off Highway 133. For years, Delicious Orchards has been a one-stop shop for local foods, locally made products, camping, live music, you pick, and Big Bay's juices and hard cider. I asked Jeff what's next for Delicious Orchards in regards to agritourism.
So we are at Delicious Orchards now, and it's become Delicious Orchards' home of Big Bay's, which is juices and ciders and fruit and vinegar. That's what Big Bay's and Delicious Orchards is.
And how long has Big Bay's and Delicious Orchards been in business?
So Big Bay's Juices has been going since 1973. Bernie Heidemann started it. I came to work for Bernie in 2000. And in 2001, he's like, do you want to just buy this? And so we did. And then we ended up purchasing the orchard where Delicious Orchards is and creating that to be the home of, where we could have our experiential retail. It's our agritourism piece. You know, this whole orchard that we're sitting in right now in the garden, it's just an extension of the store and the bar and the tasting room and the swings. So this is all experiential retail where people can come and they can pick everything from cherries to the apricots to the garden, tomatoes and peppers and basil. I think what's cool about what we offer here at Big Bay's Delicious Orchards in terms of agritourism is that we've taken all the products that we grow, all the crops that we grow from cherries to apples to pears to peaches to the garden vegetables, and we've really done a good job in vertically integrating and doing a vertical integration, you know. So people can come in at the lowest or the highest level, they can come and pick their own fruit or vegetables, or they can just purchase that stuff right from the store, stuff that we picked the day before or the day of, or they can buy a bigger volume of that so they can process that into their own canned tomatoes or their own dried cherries. They can buy that stuff from us. They can buy the dried cherries that we made or the salsa that we've made from our fruit and veggies, or they can buy it in the form of a meal. They can buy the tomatoes on the burger, you know. So I think what we've tried to do in terms of agritourism is allow people to create their own experience and take it to whatever level they want.
You're pretty much a one-stop shop. Is there anything else that you've considered adding to your activities or services?
I think on top of what we're offering now, like you picking and meals and camping and live music and events, I think our next focus is on more lodging, like more camping, so people can not only spend an afternoon or a day here, but we can make it easier for them to spend a weekend or 3 days, you know, whether it's going to be like little cabins that we build for people, like we're building one now, or more, you know, nice tents that we set up for people, glamping, and then just organizing our tent and RV camping now better and really expanding on that, which really is ag tourism, you know, taking advantage of our farm and our property, you know, to bring in more revenue for us, to enhance the experience of our visitors, you know, locals and tourists. I mean, one big thing about ag tourism that I really have always thought about and focused on is, you know, we are as in tuned and we are trying to serve our local people, our local population, as much as we are visitors and tourists. And we really appreciate and respect both clients, both customer bases. And I think that's kind of why Delicious Orchards has become like a destination, because I think when visitors come, tourists or travelers, they see like, oh, there's such an authentic vibe of the local people are there enjoying you picking and enjoying the food and the atmosphere. And that just makes it a bigger draw because it feels more authentic to people. And then this weekend, 4th of July is coming up. It's such a big, fun weekend here in the Valley, Paonia, Cherry Days. Thursday, the 4th, we'll be at the parade doing a fun, big cherry harvest-themed float. And then we'll come back here, and the scones will be on playing live music from about 2:30. And then Clifton Hanger, our kind of our house band, our local favorite for us, will be on the stage from about 5:30, 6 o'clock till whenever they want to get off the stage, which could be like 10, 10:30. And then Saturday, we'll be at it again with Wild Adriatic, fun upcoming band. And then Tiffany Christopher, who's rad, she'll open up for them on Saturday. So we have a super fun weekend, long extended weekend coming up. Hopefully people can come down. The orchard's looking beautiful with this weather. There's a lot of cherry you picking. And we will be running the shuttle both days, Thursday and Saturday, from Delicious through town. We'll go through the high school because it's a big weekend. And we'll get people here safe and get them home safe.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you thinking of us. And it's always an honor and a pleasure to be part of KVNF. And this whole community is really given us the energy to serve and to give back, for sure.
That was Jeff from Delicious Orchards talking about the future of Big Bees and Delicious Orchards. Next, I stopped by Mountain View Orchard and Winery in Olathe. I spoke with third-generation farmer and winemaker Mike Young and his wife Wendy, as well as their enthusiastic 9-year-old son Caden, who was helping his mom in their tasting room. Here's Caden talking about a typical workday and what they have to offer to their visitors.
So I pick cherries and I water our trees and water the gardens and weed the gardens. And after we go to the hardware store, I'm going to go clean the bathroom.
Wow, that sounds like a full schedule.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff to do.
And we're actually in your tasting room. What's your favorite part of working in the tasting room?
I get free access to the fridge. We have popsicles in there, and I get to eat a lot of them.
Do you like visiting with the people that stop by?
Yeah, I hear a lot of interesting stories.
Where are people usually coming from?
The most common are Steamboat. We have harvest toasters. So they come in RVs and, like, all over. Like, some people come from national parks and stuff. And then we are turning a trailer into an Airbnb, so...
Cool. So you'll be able to provide a space for people to stay here on the orchard. Is cherry picking the most popular you pick that you offer?
I would say cherries and pears and apples. Peaches and plums aren't the most because, like, you can make pear pie and apple pie and cherry pie. Those are the three most popular things that people would like to buy: apples, cherries, and pears.
Give me a little background on Mountain View Orchard and Winery.
Well, it's been in my husband's family for 60 years. His dad still helps with all the fruit. He's actually the third generation, so our kids are the fourth generation. Obviously, we're kind of changing our direction a little bit. We're not a fully operational 40-acre orchard anymore. We're doing more U-pick, kind of moving more towards the agritourism, definitely trying to get more people to come here. We are, like Caden said, part of Harvest Host.
What is Harvest Host?
It's an organization that has, I guess, contacts or places all over the United States of vineyards and farms and all sorts of different things that you can stay at for free. They offer no hookups, no electricity or anything, and it's usually just a farm like this. And so those are really fun. We've had people stay from all over the U.S. Last week, we had a gal from the Netherlands. She came through and camped. We've had full-time RVers. We've had people that are just starting out. We've had people that are just going camping for a night. Most people will want to have a glass of wine or buy a bottle of wine or something. So it's been really fun. We've had just amazing experience with it. Lots of people are doing it. You can do it with either, you know, just a tent or with a camper or the big RVs or anything. So, yeah, lots of opportunities with that.
And does this service cost for the farm?
It does not cost us to be hosts. There is a membership fee that gets you the, obviously, all the different places all over the country. So I know there's quite a few on this side. We were some of the first. The founders of it actually came here and invited us to be a part of it. And this was, I want to say, 5 or 7 years ago. It's been a while. And our guests have increased tremendously over the last just couple of years. So it's definitely getting out there. So it says it's RV camping at 764 plus wineries, breweries, farms, and more.
Wow.
We are just about to open our Airbnb in our vintage Spartan trailer. It's a 1950s Imperial Palace, which is super fun. Everything is you pick. We do have the cherries usually start. Actually, we're about 2 weeks early on our cherries this year. But then we'll have peaches and Italian plums and pears around mid to late August. And then apples and grapes into September and October.
Wow. I love how much variety you have here. Why do people want to come here usually?
I think people really like the idea of a vineyard. And then they get here and they just love the trees. Our pear trees are about 100 years old. Everybody just loves the quiet and the wind in the trees. And you can see we've got a perfect view of the sunset. And so it's just great. It's quiet and it's fun and it's not super out of the way. So it's easy to get to.
Yeah. How have you marketed in the past and how is that kind of changing now that, like you said, you're gearing a bit more towards agritourism?
That's a good question. We've never been able to really nail down like a demographic. We want the new wine drinker and the old wine drinker. We want every age of person to eat fruit. So we just kind of put it out there. And like I said, we're a 60-year-old place, so people definitely know about us. We're gaining notoriety with our wine. My husband's a great winemaker. And so, yeah, just a lot of Facebook and Instagram now and word of mouth, lots of word of mouth. The signs on the highway works really good. Colorado products are getting easier to market because we just have some really great people at the top, I think, promoting.
This is my winemaker.
Oh,
and
hi.
Husband.
I'm Corey. I'm with KVNF Radio. What kind of wine do you make here?
Everything from Cherry to Chardonnay, Barbera, Merlot, Gewürztraminer, Riesling, Pinot Grigio. We have cherry, wild plum, sometimes lavender. We have a peach right now. So a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and do you grow all your own grapes?
We do. On certain years, we'll have to outsource if we have a frost. But yeah, we've got 7 types of grapes grown here. Yeah.
Wow. What's the most exciting part of working here, Caden?
Free cherries. I love free cherries. And free fruit. But really, I get to meet a lot of interesting people. That's one of my favorite things, why I live here and work here.
Awesome. Yeah. Let me ask you one more question. What have some of the challenges been for you over the years?
For the fruit, some of our packing sheds have gone away. And so that's kind of been one of our challenges in how to sell our fruit. So we don't have a market for the big quantities of fruit that we used to have. The packing sheds in Delta just, they can't take it. So we're kind of stuck with an excess of fruit if we're not able to sell it.
Is that kind of why you're gearing more towards U-Pick now? Or have you always done U-Pick?
No, actually, we have not always done U-Pick. Yes, that probably would be one of the reasons, although it's a pretty nice thing. You pick your own apple. It saves me the cost of the labor and packing. Plus, it's fun, and people really like coming out and picking. You'd be surprised how many people tell us, oh, I've never seen an apple on a tree. I've never picked a cherry. So it's really a fun thing to do, and people come out with their kids and grandkids, and people come from the city. And so, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. What are your hours going to be this summer? Or when could people stop by your tasting room?
10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday.
And you said you're on Facebook, Instagram, and did I hear you say Yelp?
Yeah, Yelp.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me and KVNF.
You are welcome, and have a great day.
That was the Young family from Mountain View Orchard and Winery in Olathe. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to visit kvnf.org for direct links to Colorado Proud and to all of our featured guests.